Penguin Random House Audio presents Bittersweet, How Sorrow and Longing Make Us Whole. This is the author, Susan Cain. Note to listeners, this program includes a downloadable PDF that contains a bittersweet quiz from the book. In Memory of Leonard Cohen. Epigraph from Leonard Cohen's Anthem. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. From Uwe Wikström, professor in psychology of religion at the University of Uppsala. Gregory the Great, who lived from the year 540 to 604, spoke about compunctio, the holy pain, the grief somebody feels when faced with that which is most beautiful. The bittersweet experience stems from human homelessness in an imperfect world, human consciousness of, and at the same time, a desire for perfection. This inner spiritual void becomes painfully real when faced with beauty. There, between the lost and the desired, the holy tears are formed. Prelude. The Cellist of Sarajevo. One night, I dreamed that I was meeting my friend, a poet named Mariana, in Sarajevo, the city of love. I woke up confused. Sarajevo, a symbol of love? Wasn't Sarajevo the site of one of the bloodiest civil wars of the late 20th century? Then I remembered. Vedran Smailovic, the cellist of Sarajevo. It's May 28, 1992, and Sarajevo is under siege. For centuries, Muslims, Croats, and Serbs have lived together in this city of streetcars and pastry shops, gliding swans in parkland ponds, Ottoman mosques, and Eastern Orthodox cathedrals. A city of three religions, three peoples, yet until recently, no one paid too much attention to who was who. They knew, but they didn't know. They preferred to see one another as neighbors who met for coffee or kebabs, took classes at the same university, sometimes got married, had children. But now, civil war. Men on the hills flanking the city have cut the electricity and water supply. The 1984 Olympic Stadium has burned down, its playing fields turned into makeshift graveyards. The apartment buildings are pockmarked from mortar assaults. The traffic lights are broken. The streets are quiet. The only sound is the crackling of gunfire. Until this moment, when the strains of Albinoni's Adagio in G minor fill the pedestrian street outside a bombed-out bakery. Do you know this music? If not, maybe you should pause and listen to it right now. It's haunting, it's exquisite, it's infinitely sad. Vedran Smailovic, lead cellist of the Sarajevo Opera Orchestra, is playing it in honor of 22 people killed yesterday by a mortar shell as they lined up for bread. Smailovic was nearby when the shell exploded. He helped take care of the wounded. Now he's returned to the scene of the carnage, dressed as if for a night at the opera house, in a formal white shirt and black tails. He sits amidst the rubble on a white plastic chair, his cello propped between his legs. The yearning notes of the adagio float up to the sky. All around him, the rifles fire, the shelling booms, the machine guns crackle. Smailovic keeps on playing. He'll do this for 22 days, one day for each person killed at the bakery. Somehow, the bullets will never touch him. This is a city built in a valley, ringed by mountains from which snipers aim at starving citizens in search of bread. Some people wait for hours to cross the street, then they dart across like hunted deer. But here's a man sitting still in an open square, dressed in concert finery, as if he has all the time in the world. You ask me, am I crazy for playing the cello in a war zone, he says. Why don't you ask them if they're crazy for shelling Sarajevo? His gesture reverberates throughout the city, over the airwaves. Soon, it'll find expression in a novel, a film. But before all that, during the darkest days of the siege, Smailovic will inspire other musicians to take to the streets with their own instruments. They don't play martial music to rouse the troops against the snipers, or pop tunes to lift the people's spirits, they play the Albinoni. The destroyers attack with guns and bombs, and the musicians respond with the most bittersweet music they know. "We are not combatants," call the violinists. "We're not victims either," add the violas. "We're just humans," sing the cellos. "Just humans, flawed and beautiful and aching for love." A few months later, the Civil War rages on, and the foreign correspondent, Alan Little, watches as a procession of 40,000 civilians emerges from a forest. They've been trudging through the woods for 48 hours straight, fleeing an attack. Among them is an 80-year-old man. He looks desperate, exhausted. The man approaches Little, asks whether he's seen his wife. "They were separated during the long march," the man says. Little hasn't seen her, but ever the journalist, he asks whether the man would not mind identifying himself as Muslim or Croat. And the man's answer, Little says years later, in a gorgeous BBC segment, shames him even now as he recalls it across the decades. "I'm a musician," the old man said. Introduction. The Power of Bittersweet. From Vita Sackville West, The Garden. Homesick we are, and always, for another and different world. Once, when I was a 22-year-old law student, some friends picked me up in my dorm on the way to class. I had been happily listening to bittersweet music in a minor key. Not the Albinoni, which I hadn't heard back then. More likely, a song by my all-time favorite musician, Leonard Cohen, a.k.a. the Poet Laureate of Pessimism. It's hard to put into words what I experience when I hear this kind of music. It's technically sad, but what I feel really is love, a great tidal outpouring of it, a deep kinship with all the other souls in the world who know the sorrow the music strains to express, awe at the musician's ability to transform pain into beauty. If I'm alone when I'm listening, I often make a spontaneous prayer gesture, hands to face, palm to palm, even though I'm deeply agnostic and don't formally pray. But the music makes my heart open, literally the sensation of expanding chest muscles. It even makes it seem okay that everyone I love, including me, is going to die one day. This equanimity about death lasts maybe 3 minutes, but each time it happens, it changes me slightly. If you define transcendence as a moment in which your self fades away and you feel connected to the all, these musically bittersweet moments are the closest I have come to experiencing it. But it's happened over and over again. And I could never understand why. Meanwhile, my friends were amused by the incongruity of mournful songs blasting from a dorm room stereo. One of them asked why I was listening to funeral tunes. I laughed and we went to class. End of story. Except that I thought about his comment literally for the next 25 years. Why did I find yearning music so strangely uplifting? And what in our culture made this a fitting subject for a joke? Why, even as I write this, do I feel the need to reassure you that I love dance music, too? I really do. At first, these were just interesting questions. But as I searched for answers, I realized that they were the questions, the big ones, and that contemporary culture has trained us, to our great impoverishment, not to ask them. 2,000 years ago, Aristotle wondered why the great poets, philosophers, artists, and politicians often have melancholic personalities. His question was based on the ancient belief that the human body contains four humors, or liquid substances, each corresponding to a different temperament. Melancholic for sad, sanguine for happy, choleric for aggressive, and phlegmatic for calm. The relative amounts of these liquids were thought to shape our characters. Hippocrates, the famed Greek physician, believed that the ideal person enjoyed a harmonious balance of the four, but many of us tend in one direction or another. This book is about the melancholic direction, which I call the bittersweet, a tendency to states of longing, poignancy, and sorrow, an acute awareness of passing time, and a curiously piercing joy at the beauty of the world. The bittersweet is also about the recognition that light and dark, birth and death, bitter and sweet, are forever paired. days of honey, days of onion, as an Arabic proverb puts it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?